Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Treasuries are extending their rally as soft inflation data from the U.S. fed into markets after the long weekend and the dollar falls. Australia, New Zealand, Hong Kong, and most major European markets won't reopen until tomorrow when we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. U.S. stock index futures, they are lower. S&P futures down 3 points. Dow futures down 22. NASDAQ futures down 4. 10-year Treasury up 8/32, yield 2.20%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.8% or 41 cents to $52.77 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.2% or $2.90 to $12.91.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.0623. The yen, 108.33. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Arkansas is in a legal fight over a series of double executions. Bruce Earl Warren and Don Williams Davis Jr. were scheduled to die tonight in the first of two of eight executions over 11 days. Last week, a state court judge blocked Arkansas from using one of its three lethal injection drugs until he can determine whether it was obtained properly. And a federal judge on Saturday issued all stays of the executions. Security has been increased in protecting France's presidential candidates after intelligence services were said to have picked up on an imminent threat. France has been under a state of emergency since November 2015, when gunmen killed 130 people in several attacks in Paris. In sports, in the NHL playoffs, the Rangers lost to the Canadiens 3-1. Montreal leads the series 2-1. The Sharks were shut out by Edmonton 1-0. In baseball, the Yankees won, the Mets lost, the Nationals were winners. In the NBA playoffs, the Warriors and Wizards were winners. The Celtics lost. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. In North Korea this weekend, Kim Jong-un defied the Trump administration with a ballistic missile test. That's raised tensions in the region where we currently find Vice President Mike Pence meeting with leaders in Asia. We're also learning that North Korea snubbed senior Chinese diplomats earlier this month. That's according to people familiar with the situation who say Pyongyang didn't respond to meeting requests from China's foreign minister. For analysis and perspective, Bloomberg's Betty Liu and Kathleen Hayes speak to William Rhodes Global Advisors CEO and President Bill Rhodes.
I think it's a difficult situation. As you know, he had the big parade and showed off these new missiles.
Right.
And then he tried to have one fly off close to Japan. And fortunately, it blew up.
Yeah.
But what everyone's concerned about is that they've had five nuclear tests, successful ones, and everyone is concerned that very shortly he will try a sixth.
Another one.
A sixth.
And I'm curious, Bill, then, you know, since you are so close to the Chinese leadership, what you think China is doing right now? I mean, what are they doing behind the scenes to this?
Well, that really is the key, because nobody's really sure. Apparently, a friend of mine who's senior in the Foreign Service of China told me that the meeting between the two presidents in Mar-a-Lago actually was very positive from the view of the Chinese. Much better than they thought. Mm. The question is, what's going to come out of that vis-a-vis North Korea? Because I think President Trump will be forced to put on secondary sanctions on Chinese companies and banks if the Chinese don't take a stronger stand towards trying to restrain Kim Jong-un.
Mm. Well, but Bill, what can they do? What can the U.S., what could Donald Trump and Xi Jinping do together?
Well, in a few times that I've been with him and heard him speak on the subject, he's not particularly happy with what's going on in North Korea. I heard him say that personally, Xi Jinping. I think the problem is the Chinese have always been concerned that they don't want American influence on the Yalu. And if you have a combined, reunified Korea, you will have that. So I think they're sort of mixed, you know, signals here out of the Chinese. What could the Chinese do? They could start squeezing North Korea economically much more than they do. They're the biggest purchaser of their coal. They do a lot of different trade arrangements, and they could squeeze them. In fact, the North Koreans use some of the Chinese banks. They could prohibit the Chinese banks from acting as intermediaries with North Korea. Also, actually there's a lot that can be done. Now, the U.S. says that if they don't get something, as I said, out of China
right.
in the foreseeable future, and this ties in also with trade, because remember our president is a negotiator, and he's basically saying, look, I want to see some progress on knocking down this big deficit mm-hmm. of $347 billion. So what he is looking for is that the Chinese do
right,
more
do
to allow
yeah.
our imports, particularly agricultural, beef, things like that, to knock down this yeah. trade deficit of $347 billion. So I think there's a lot to be discussed here, but time moves on here, because remember, we've had three presidents that have actually tried to stop nuclear development and missile development in Korea, starting with Bill Clinton, George Bush Jr., and also President Obama. And so all of them have failed. And what we've seen is a continuing development on the missile side and the nuclear side.
That is William Rhodes, Global Advisors CEO and President Bill Rhodes, speaking to Bloomberg's Betty Liu and Kathleen Hayes about the situation in North Korea.
Well, now it's time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. And today, Bloomberg Law host June Grasso and Michael Best speak with the Bloomberg Law co-host and Supreme Court reporter Greg Storr about the possibility of Justice Anthony Kennedy's retiring.
Greg, what are you hearing about Justice Kennedy?
Well, I've been spending some time talking to some former law clerks, and there's definitely a difference of opinion as to whether he will retire at the end of this year. It is certainly at least a possibility that those of us who care about the court are going to have to watch for. There are a few signs. He's scheduled his law clerk reunion a year earlier than he normally would, and in the very end, at the very end of the term. So it's at least possible that that reunion, the last weekend of June, will be right around the time he makes an announcement. I don't know for sure, but I'm certainly going to be paying attention.
Kennedy is the most important person on that court because he has been he is the swing vote, and he's certainly back in that position now. Would he want to give up that power?
Yeah, that's a real question, June. And for those people who say, no, I don't think he's going to retire, that's one of the biggest things that they point to. He has been, since 2006, the most important justice on this court, the swing justice on so many issues. And if Justice Gorsuch is anything like what everyone is expecting he will be, Justice Kennedy will stay right in the middle of the court. And so when the court takes up cases involving the Trump's travel ban, voter ID laws, religious rights and gay rights, there's a good chance he will be right in the middle again, and he may not want to give that up just yet.
Well, speaking of Justice Gorsuch, we call him that now as he's going to be on the court. He's going to start very soon hearing cases. What's on the docket for Justice Gorsuch and the rest of the justices to hear as he takes the bench?
Yeah, he's had an awful lot to learn in the past week. They have seven cases, three of them on Monday. The biggest one that he's going to hear is a church-state case that has to do with a Missouri funding program for playgrounds. And Missouri said that according to our Constitution, we can't give the money to a church that wanted this money for resurfacing playgrounds. And so everybody's going to be watching to see what sorts of questions we get from Justice Gorsuch and any indications about what type of justice he's going to be.
And that's Bloomberg Law co-host and Supreme Court reporter Greg Storr speaking with Bloomberg Law host June Grasso and Michael Best. You can listen to Bloomberg Law weekdays at 1 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio.
Now among the top legal stories from Bloomberg Law, the newest justice on the Supreme Court, Neil Gorsuch, will hear a crucial case about the separation of church and state in his first week on the job. A Missouri church has challenged the state's decision to exclude it from a program that provides money to use ground-up tires in playgrounds. A decision could make it easier to use state money for private religious schooling.
In South Korea, ousted President Park Geun-hye has been indicted on corruption charges. Park was arrested last month on bribery and a dozen other criminal charges. She's been in jail since then. A formal indictment clears the way for a trial.
And that's this morning's Bloomberg Law Brief. You can find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com for more information.
And futures this morning are little changed to lower, with S&P futures down 2.5 points, Dow futures down 17, NASDAQ futures down 3, the 10-year Treasury up 8/32, the yield 2.20%, and NYMEX crude oil down 0.8% or 42 cents to $52.76 a barrel. And this is Bloomberg.
This is the Bloomberg BNA Report. Legal, tax, and compliance information from the Bloomberg 99.1 Newsroom in Washington. Here is Joan Doniger.
Mexico will take part in the North American Free Trade Agreement with or without the U.S., a top trade official tells Bloomberg BNA. While it would be best for all three members to continue, Mexico is ready to deal solely with Canada. Discount retailers like Dollar Tree and Five Below that rely on inexpensive imported products would likely be hard hit by a border-adjusted tax. And lawmakers have released a draft of a bill to reauthorize drug and medical device user fees needed to keep the FDA from having to lay off 5,000 workers.
Bloomberg BNA, the leader in providing news, analysis, and proprietary business data that positions legal professionals to best advise their clients. This is Bloomberg.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Monday, April 17th, 2017. Coming up this hour,
Uber opens its books, disclosing financial information for the first time in an interview with Bloomberg.
Earnings season kicks into gear with 60 S&P 500 companies reporting this week.
Gold is poised to extend its rally. That's the call from one investor who sees a weaker U.S. dollar.
U.S. Vice President Mike Pence in Seoul has a message for North Korea.
The era of strategic patience is over.
Plus a big victory for Turkey's president. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Montreal again beat the Rangers. They lead the series 2-1. Another win for the Yankees. The Mets lost in the ninth inning.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Commonwealth Financial Network. When it's time to change the conversation, talk with a broker-dealer RIA. It's ready to listen. Call 866-462-3638 or visit commonwealth.com to learn more.
And at 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning, little change to lower, with S&P futures down 2 points, Dow futures down 16, NASDAQ futures down 2. Most major European markets are closed today, while the Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 9/32, yield 2.20%, yield on the 2-year 1.18%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.8% or 43 cents to $52.75 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.25% or $3.40 at $12.91.90 an ounce. The euro, $1.0626. The yen, 108.30.
In Asia today, equities traded mostly higher to begin the week. And Bloomberg's Juliet Sally has details from our Hong Kong bureau.
The yen strengthened, continuing to hold at five-month highs, sending the Nikkei 225 down in early trade, although it managed to close higher by 0.1% as buyers moved in towards the close. Official Chinese data showed the world's second-largest economy grew at a 6.9% annual pace in the first quarter year-on-year. The better-than-expected data sent the sellers into the Chinese markets as hopes of extra stimulus from the government faded. Also weighing on sentiment in China was a call from China's stock regulator for stricter supervision of companies. The Shanghai Composite fell 0.75%. Stocks in Shenzhen were down 1.4%. South Korean hotel and cosmetic stocks got a boost that helped the KOSPI rise by 0.5% as the won also gained against the dollar. Markets in Australia, New Zealand and Hong Kong remained closed for the Easter break. Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Thanks, Juliet. U.S. Vice President Mike Pence is visiting leaders in Asia this week. His trip comes amid increased tension over North Korea after the country conducted a failed ballistic missile test over the weekend. Bloomberg International Economics and Policy Correspondent Michael McKee reports.
Pence will be looking to reassure Asian allies the U.S. is thinking as much about them as it is about North Korea. Trump has tweeted a lot lately about the U.S. going it alone with the North if China doesn't help. But the issue is of major concern to South Korea and Japan in particular. home to thousands of U.S. troops and within reach of a potential North Korean strike. The vice president will also explain the administration's plan for an economic role in the region. After the president withdrew from the Trans-Pacific Partnership, he ends his trip meeting with Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull, with whom Trump had a famously contentious phone call in February. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Michael. Gold is set to extend its rally. That's the call from Prestige Economics. President and founder Jason Shanker tells Bloomberg he sees bullion going much higher amid signs of a weakening U.S. dollar.
We see a gradually weakening dollar on trend, although we expect two more rate hikes this year, September and December, and four rate hikes next year. What we also think is that a lot of that's priced in. And so rate hikes from the European Central Bank or the Bank of England at any point in time would be a surprise. And that could weigh on the dollar. There's also other central banks that need to be thinking a bit, I think, about rate hikes. And that should weigh on the dollar on trend. So if you see a dollar going down on trend, that's supportive for gold.
Prestige Economics President Jason Shanker also says weak first quarter U.S. GDP numbers could help boost gold. Right now, COMEX gold is up more than a quarter percent, $3.60 an ounce to $12.92.10.
Uber has opened up its books. In an interview with Bloomberg, the privately held company has disclosed financial information for the very first time. Bloomberg's Rami Insensio reports.
Uber doubled its gross bookings in 2016 to $20 billion year on year. In 2015, gross bookings were just under the $9 billion mark. Uber also revealed its 2016 net revenue was $6.5 billion and its net losses were $2.8 billion. Now, that does not, by the way, include its $1 billion loss from selling off its China business. So in 2016, Uber lost a total of $3.8 billion. Uber also released numbers for the fourth quarter of 2016. It showed gross bookings jumped 28% from the third quarter, revenue jumped 74%, and losses hit nearly $1 billion. Now, that is a huge number, of course, but with the public disclosure, the ride-hailing giant is trying to show growth is outpacing loss. Analysts also point out that's a lot of cash to burn in a quarter, but Uber is still the world's most valuable tech startup with a $69 billion valuation. Rami Insensio, Bloomberg News, New York.
Rami, thanks very much. And earnings season kicks into gear this week with 60 S&P 500 companies scheduled to report results. Today we'll hear from Netflix, Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett with a preview.
The analyst survey by Bloomberg see the video streaming service reporting first quarter earnings per share of 37 cents on revenue of $2.64 billion. The focus will be on domestic and international net subscriber additions. Some analysts view the company's forecast for first quarter streaming net additions as conservative and expect the company to post strong results. Analysts at RBC say U.S. survey results are, quote, unambiguously positive, with data showing record usage and satisfaction levels. 26 analysts say the stock is a buy, 15 say it's a hold, 3 say it's a sell. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Charlie. And again, futures this morning are little changed to lower. The 10-year Treasury up 9/32. The yield 2.20%. Yield on the 2-year 1.17%. The 30-year yield at 2.86%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 0.8% at $52.76 a barrel. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And that, Karen, brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. Tough words for North Korea. Don't test more missiles and don't test us. Let's bring in Bloomberg's Michael Barr now with the latest. Good morning to you, Michael.
Good morning, Bob. U.S. Vice President Mike Pence visiting the 10th zone dividing North and South Korea has warned Pyongyang that after years of testing the U.S. and South Korea with its nuclear ambitions, the era of strategic patience is over. Pence made an unannounced visit to the demilitarized zone at the start of his 10-day trip to Asia. Pence, in a joint news conference today with South Korea's acting president, had a warning for Pyongyang.
The president and I have great confidence that China will properly deal with North Korea. But as President Trump made clear just a few short days ago, if China is unable to deal with North Korea, the United States and our allies will.
Meanwhile, North Korea is said to have snubbed senior Chinese diplomats this month as tensions mounted with the U.S. According to people familiar with the matter, Pyongyang did not respond to requests from China's foreign minister and a Chinese top envoy on nuclear affairs. to meet with their North Korean counterparts. Russia plans to hold talks with the U.S. and the United Nations next week in Geneva on the Syrian peace process. According to state media, the talks will take place a week from today. Voters in Turkey decided to give President Recep Tayyip Erdogan new executive powers. Bloomberg's Isabel Finkel in Istanbul reports Erdogan followed his win by taking aim at political opponents.
He ruled out the prospect of early elections in his victory speech, but he did voice other sentiments that might give investors alarm. He said that he'd immediately consider a second referendum, a referendum on reinstituting the death penalty. Now that might cause problems with the EU, which the country's been trying to join for these last few decades. In fact, EU officials immediately after the result complained not about that proposal, but about the constitutional package that Turks have voted to approve itself, saying that it could cause problems and even halt the accession process. So it's not as if political uncertainty is entirely over.
Bloomberg's Isabel Finkel. The police chief in Cleveland, Ohio, is urging residents to be on alert for a man who they say randomly shot and killed an elderly passerby and then posted a gruesome video of the killing on Facebook. United Continental has changed its policy on employee travel. It will now ensure crews riding on its aircraft as passengers are booked at least 60 minutes prior to departure. The change came after backlash from a video last week showing a United passenger being dragged down the aisle after refusing to leave to make room for an airline employee. Global News, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you. And Michael moves us along to 6:09 on Wall Street. That is time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And good morning to you, John Steshauer.
Good morning, Bob. The Rangers won once in Montreal. They were 17 seconds away from winning twice, but since then, this series has been all Canadiens. They tied game two, won it in overtime, and then last night came into the Garden and won again. Derek Stepan after the Rangers lost game three, 3-1.
I put it on us a little bit tonight. I didn't think the puck was very friendly for us tonight. I thought we struggled, everybody, to execute, and certainly wasn't lack of effort. We were almost at times trying too hard.
Rangers didn't score until 3 minutes to go. Montreal took control with power play goals in the second and third periods. Game four is tomorrow. Pittsburgh and St. Louis both won again. Both lead their series 3-0. Edmonton won 1-0 at San Jose for a 2-1 series lead. NBA playoffs, Golden State won its opener over Portland. Eighth seed in Chicago won at top seed Boston. Washington beat Atlanta. Houston down to Oklahoma City. Another win for the Yankees. That's 7 in a row. 6-0 on this homestand. This time they got Greg Bird involved. He had the huge spring training and then started the season 1-for-26. But last night, Bird went 3-for-3. His first home run, Aaron Hicks homered as well. A 9-3 win to sweep the Cardinals. The White Sox come in tonight. Miserable weekend for the Mets after winning 5 in a row. 3 straight close losses. Again, done in with a late-inning homer in Miami. Mets didn't get a hit until the 8th inning. They were one out from defeat when they tied the Marlins on an Asdrubal Cabrera pinch hit, only to lose 4-2 on a walk-off home run bottom of the ninth by J.T. Riddle, who had never hit a big league homer before. Colorado beat the Giants 4-3. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
John, thanks very much. A forward look at the markets now. S&P futures currently down by 2 points. That is a tenth of 1%. Dow futures lower by 13 points. NASDAQ futures down by a single point. 10-year yield at 2.2036%. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg Radio. Daybreak brought to you by Bank of America Merrill Lynch. To them, every day is Earth Day. They're committed to bringing higher finance to lower carbon. Merrill Lynch, Pierce Finner & Smith Incorporated, member SIPC.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update's brought to you by National Realty, managers of New York City Cashflow Real Estate, providing you 10 to 16% annualized returns with immediate monthly distributions. See them at nria.net. Today we are watching for earnings as companies including Netflix are scheduled to report, kicking off a busy week. We're also watching for reports on Empire Manufacturing at 8:30 Wall Street time. At 10, it's homebuilder confidence. Treasuries extending their rally as soft inflation data from the U.S. Fed into markets after the long weekend and the dollar falls. Lingering geopolitical concerns in Asia offset upbeat economic data from China, ensuring haven assets gain. Australia, New Zealand, Hong Kong, and most major European markets won't reopen until tomorrow, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. U.S. stock index futures are little changed to lower, with S&P futures down 2.5 points, Dow futures down 15, NASDAQ futures down 1.5. 10-year Treasury up 9/32, yield 2.20%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.8% or 42 cents to $52.76 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.25% or $3.30 to $12.91.80 an ounce. The euro, $1.0626. The yen, 108.31. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, U.S. Vice President Mike Pence visiting the 10th zone dividing North and South Korea has warned Pyongyang that after years of testing the U.S. and South Korea with its nuclear ambitions, the era of strategic patience is over. Pence made an unannounced visit to the demilitarized zone at the start of his 10-day trip to Asia. The head of Turkey's electoral board has rejected suggestions of fraud in Turkey's referendum that will grant the president vast new powers. Two opposition parties have complained of a number of irregularities in Sunday's vote. In sports, in the NHL playoffs, the Rangers lost to the Canadiens 3-1. Montreal leads the series 2-1. The Sharks were shut out by Edmonton 1-0. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets lost. The Nationals were winners. In the NBA playoffs, the Warriors and Wizards were winners. The Celtics lost. Finally, from daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, which is the most likely to annoy a flight attendant? Businessmen, babies, or yoga fanatics? If you said the latter, yoga fanatics, you're right. One Norwegian crew member says it happens at least once a flight when they come into our galley space and start doing stretches or push-ups.
And you wouldn't want to invade their space, right?
It's all about them. Sorry, did I say that out loud? I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Intelligence. Valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
And good morning to you. Our guest this hour is Carl Riccadonna, Bloomberg Intelligence Chief U.S. Economist, joining us on our phone line, sponsored by Spectrum Enterprise, your nationwide provider of scalable fiber network services and managed cloud solutions. Good morning, Carl. Home builder confidence out at 10. More housing numbers coming out this week. How is housing doing these days, and how important is that to the economy, perhaps more importantly, to the Fed?
Well, home builder sentiment probably will cool down a bit. It looks like the rally since Election Day is a bit unsustainable, and I think that's going to be the theme of a lot of metrics we see this week that are early indications of where second quarter economic activity is headed. We also have the New York Empire Manufacturing Survey as well as the Philadelphia Fed Survey on Thursday. So economists are kind of writing off the weakness in Q1 and looking forward to some improvement in the second quarter. Now, to your question with respect to how housing is doing, housing is moving forward, but at a very slow pace. There seem to be some constraints, whether it's higher interest rates, lack of available lots for building, also some shortages of skilled labor. And so housing moving in the right direction, but very, very slowly. As we look to the second quarter, what's going to be more important is a rebound in that reliable engine of economic growth over the last couple of years, which is consumer spending. Economists would like to see additions from elsewhere in the economy, like housing, like business investment. But most importantly, we need to see a rebound in consumption.
Is the Fed really watching those housing numbers at all?
I think they're watching very closely because for two reasons. First of all, they don't want to be inflating another housing bubble. We all understand now how messy it is and how difficult it is to right the wrongs of a bubble bursting, especially in such a sensitive asset class as housing. Secondly, however, they're watching the housing numbers because each economic cycle is a bit different, and they're not sure what the feedback mechanism of higher interest rates into the economy will look like in terms of either timing or magnitude. And they certainly don't want to clobber the housing market as they're trying to normalize interest rates. And I don't think they have to this point, but they are definitely keeping a watchful eye on these numbers, especially as we move out of the winter hibernation for the housing sector and into the all-important spring building and buying season.
So what I think I heard you suggesting earlier was that when it comes to Trumponomics, if you will, that a lot of folks got ahead of themselves?
That seems to be the case. There's some big question marks now after the failure with repealing Obamacare. There's some questions about how bogged down his administration has become or distracted by foreign events like geopolitics and whatnot. And that puts a big question mark on things that are near and dear to the market's heart. One, which is comprehensive tax reform, and two is infrastructure and a bigger stimulus package. Those initially were suggested they might come through by the August recess or at least in the second half of this year. Now there's question marks if we'll even see a 2017 timestamp on those initiatives.
Very quickly, is that why so many people are convinced that we won't see Fed action next month?
I think that's the reason. The economy is growing very slowly, so the expectation is the Fed will wait till the June meeting for their next move.
Carl Riccadonna is chief U.S. economist for Bloomberg Intelligence and joined us on our phone line sponsored by Spectrum Enterprise, your nationwide provider of scalable fiber network services and managed cloud solutions. And Bloomberg Intelligence provides unique real-time research and context on industries and all the market and government factors that impact business. Our terminal customers can access this function at BIGO. S&P futures right now down by 3 points, a little more than a tenth of 1%. 10-year Treasury prices are up 8/32 this morning. The yield at 2.2072%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak, and this is Bloomberg Radio. Brought to you by Land Rover. Visit your local tri-state area retailer for special lease and finance offers. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's catch up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are lower as we begin a new trading week. Most major European markets, Hong Kong, Australia, and New Zealand are closed for the Easter holiday.
Crude oil is lower this morning over concern that a surge in U.S. oil drilling will counter efforts by OPEC and Russia to cut a global supply surplus. Checking oil right now, West Texas Intermediate is down about 0.9% or 44 cents to $52.74 a barrel, while Brent is down 0.8% or 47 cents to $55.42.
The Turkish lira is trading higher after voters gave President Recep Erdogan vast new executive powers. Voters approved a set of constitutional amendments that gave him greater sway over policy. And checking the Turkish lira right now, it's currently trading at 3.6666.
In China, the economy accelerated 6.9% in the first quarter of this year. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis reports from our Hong Kong bureau.
Bob, Karen, you can credit strong loan growth and a further boost from property markets for the outperformance. A Bloomberg survey had called for 6.8%. So what went right? Well, investment picked up, retail sales rebounded, and factory output jumped, all above estimates. Now, Bloomberg Intelligence says in current price terms, the economy actually expanded 11.8% from a year earlier, and that makes the issue of excess leverage look a little more manageable. Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Thank you, Brian. Ant Financial is trying to win a bidding war for MoneyGram. Jack Ma's financial services company raised its bid for the U.S.-based payments firm by 36%, which amounts to an offer of $1.2 billion. Euronet Worldwide has a competing offer for MoneyGram on the table.
Uber has opened up its books. In an interview with Bloomberg, the privately held company has disclosed financial information for the very first time. Uber says its revenue growth is outpacing losses. It more than doubled gross bookings last year to $20 billion.
And time now for the Volatility Index Report, brought to you by CBOE VIX Options and Futures. Volatility can be harnessed with CBOE VIX Options and Futures. See disclosures and learn more at cboe.com/powerfuloutcomesvix. Well, on Thursday, the VIX gained 1.2% to close at 1596. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, VIX futures are another 1 2/3% higher to 1622. That's this morning's volatility report.
And futures are little changed to lower. S&P futures down about 3 points. Dow futures down 18. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
And Karen, that brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update is brought to you by the New York Community Trust, where donors like you help them make New York better. The latest on the Korean tensions now. Let's bring in Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Bob. U.S. Vice President Mike Pence traveled to the 10th zone dividing North and South Korea. Pence visited the demilitarized zone separating the two countries. Pence also held a joint news conference today with South Korea's acting president in Seoul.
We are with you 100%. Even in these troubled times, we stand with you for a free and secure future. The United States of America stands shoulder to shoulder with the Republic of Korea.
Pence also warned North Korea over its nuclear weapons tests. The era of strategic patience is over. North Korea snubbed senior Chinese diplomats this month, raising questions about the influence Beijing leaders have had over North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. According to people familiar with the matter, Pyongyang did not respond to requests from China's foreign minister and a top envoy to meet with North Korea. Turkey's main opposition party is preparing to contest the results of a referendum. It gave a narrow victory to President Recep Tayyip Erdogan's wishes to greatly expand the powers of his office. Opposition parties complained of a number of irregularities in the voting. Police in Ohio are urging residents in surrounding states today to be on alert for a man who they say shot and killed an elderly passerby and then posted the gruesome video of the killing on Facebook. 37-year-old Steve Stevens is wanted on a charge of aggravated murder and the death of Robert Godwin Sr. yesterday afternoon in Cleveland. Cleveland, Ohio Police Chief Calvin Williams.
From what we can tell now, it's just a random person that he picked out. We don't know why, but it's senseless. There is no need for this gentleman to lose his life.
According to a video posted on Facebook, Stevens says he will keep killing until they catch him. Global News 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now 6:35 on Wall Street, and with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, good morning to you, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. After the split in Montreal, Game 3 at the Garden, Rangers and Canadiens were scoreless until the second period. A rare face-off violation penalty against the Rangers' JT Miller, their first penalty of the night, and the Canadiens cashed in. And then in the third, Matt Zuccarello assessed a four-minute high-sticking penalty late in the power play. Montreal scored again. They won Game 3 3-1. They now lead Henrik Lundqvist of the Blue Shirts 2-1.
I think it's important that we start with ourselves and not look what they're doing. Let's start with ourselves. And yeah, they're a good team, but we got to just got to give more at home. Playoffs. We're not going to win. We need more. As simple as that. Obviously, special teams, a big part of the game tonight.
Back home tomorrow for a pretty much must-win in Game 4. Pittsburgh, who won the Stanley Cup last year, won in overtime at Columbus and up 3-0. So is St. Louis in a surprise over Minnesota. Edmonton won 1-0 at San Jose for a 2-1 lead there. NBA playoff Game 1 wins for Washington, Golden State, Houston, and in a surprise, Chicago won at Boston. What an opening homestand for the Yankees. It's not over yet. The White Sox come in tonight. Last night, Yanks pulled away from the Cardinals, completed the sweep 9-3, their seventh win in a row. They're 6-0 at home. Michael Pineda following his near-perfect game with another victory. Home runs for Greg Bird and Aaron Hicks. Bird went 3-for-3. He started the year 1-for-26. Mets off tonight. They lost for the third straight time in Miami. Marlins won 4-2 on a JT Riddle walk-off home run. Bottom of the ninth off Addison Reed. Riddle picking a good time for his first big league homer. Colorado beat the Giants 4-3. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
John, thanks very much. The Federal Reserve's latest report card on the U.S. economy is among the highlights on this week's economic calendar, and Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice has a preview.
The Beige Book, based on reports on the Fed's 12 district banks, precedes next month's meeting on interest rate policy. Futures trading suggests the central bank will stand pat on May 3rd after lifting its benchmark rate a quarter point in mid-March. The last Beige Book said the economy was growing at a modest to moderate pace with subdued inflation. Also on this week's economic calendar, housing starts, industrial production, and the index of leading economic indicators. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Vinny. Samsung begins shipping its new Galaxy S8 smartphones this week at a critical time for the company as it looks to recover from its exploding Note 7 devices last year. Bloomberg's Susanna Palmer has more.
Apart from making sure the gadget won't cause bodily harm like the Note 7, Samsung has packed it with new features. It's taller with a curved screen, encrypted facial recognition, deeper display colors, system-wide voice control, and the ability to turn into a desktop computer. It comes in two different sizes and in five different colors. Susanna Palmer, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Susanna. Now your Bloomberg Green Business Report. Energy Secretary Rick Perry is ordering a study of the U.S. electric grid with an eye to examining whether policies that favor wind and solar energy are accelerating the retirement of coal and nuclear plants critical to ensuring steady, reliable power supplies. The 60-day review comes as regulators increasingly wonder how to balance electric reliability with a raft of state policies that prioritize less stable, renewable energy sources. In a memo obtained by Bloomberg News, Perry highlights concerns about the erosion of resources providing baseload power, consistent, reliable electricity generated even when the sun isn't shining and the winds aren't blowing. Perry says in the memo that coal, natural gas, nuclear, and hydroelectric provide affordable baseload power and contribute to a stable, reliable, and resilient grid. He cautions about a diminishing diversity in the nation's electric generation mix and what that could mean to the resilience of the nation's power supply. And that's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. It's now 6:39 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View, the opinion section of Bloomberg.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. On one issue at least, President Trump has united the country. Most Americans oppose legislation he signed that rolls back rules protecting online privacy. Unfortunately, it's an issue on which Trump and the Republican Congress happen to be mostly right. The rules in question would have required broadband providers to ask customers' permission before collecting personal data for use in selling ads. That sounds sensible. In reality, it most likely would have raised prices without doing much to protect privacy. The truth is, broadband carriers aren't selling personalized browsing histories. They're selling anonymous packs of data. Research suggests that people will pay for enhanced privacy protections, provided they trust that they're getting a good deal. Letting them do so might give broadband companies a new source of revenue while reducing their customers' anxiety. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com. or View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg View editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. S&P futures this morning down by 2 points, 0.1%. Dow futures lower by 18 points. NASDAQ futures down by a single point. You're listening to Bloomberg. And the Bloomberg View is brought to you by Benzel Busch Motor Car in Englewood, New Jersey, winner of the 2017 Dealer Rater Dealer of the Year and J and Consumer Satisfaction Awards. Experience why and define the way you drive at BenzelBusch.com.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are little changed to lower this morning. Treasuries are extending their rally. Let's go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Romain Bostic. Good morning, Romain.
Good morning, Karen. Dow futures are down about 16 points right now. The S&P down by 2 and NASDAQ is down by about a half of a point. The VIX climbed to its highest level since the week of the U.S. election. It reached 16.28, compared with an average reading this year of about 12. Geopolitical concerns have investors back in haven assets. Yen, gold, and treasuries climbing. The yield on 10-year treasuries were for a while below 2.2%. That's the lowest since the election. Bloomberg Dollar Spot Index at the lowest in 3 weeks. Most major European markets were closed today, along with Australia, New Zealand, and Hong Kong. Mainland Chinese shares tumbled. Japanese stocks rose. And in the energy space here in the U.S., new data shows hedge funds boosted bullish bets on oil for a second week. Still, the recovery in U.S. drilling activity is keeping optimism for prices in check. U.S. explorers added rigs for a 13th week. That's the longest stretch of gain since 2011. Right now, NYMEX crude futures down about 1% in New York, back below $53 a barrel. Live from the First Word breaking news desk, I'm Romain Bostic. Karen?
Thanks for remaining. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg-type squawk on your terminal, that's S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Arkansas is in a legal fight over a series of double executions. Bruce Earl Ward and Don William Davis Jr. were scheduled to die tonight in the first of two of eight executions over 11 days. Last week, a state court judge blocked Arkansas from using one of its three lethal injection drugs until he can determine whether it was obtained properly. And then a federal judge on Saturday issued stays of all the executions. Security has been increased in protecting France's presidential candidates after intelligence services were said to have picked up on an imminent threat. In sports, in the NHL playoffs, the Rangers lost to the Canadiens 3-1. Montreal leads the series 2-1. The Sharks were shut out by Edmonton 1-0. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets lost. The Nationals were winners. In the NBA playoffs, the Warriors and Wizards won. The Celtics lost. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, it was a tribute to the late Charlie Chaplin. More than 660 people dressed as the Little Tramp to mark Chaplin's birth date yesterday in his former home in Switzerland. Bob, it was an attempt by the Chaplin's World Museum to set a world record for the largest gathering of people dressed as the famous character.
Well, I hope they dressed authentically, like tying their shoes with licorice and that sort of thing. Did you know that? That scene where the Little Tramp eats his shoes? Charlie Chaplin had shoes made out of licorice so he could do that scene.
Either licorice or the real shoe. It's still nasty. I don't like either one. By the way, you can check it out on Daybreak. It is the image of the day. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following is from Bloomberg View. Opinions and commentary from Bloomberg columnists.
I'm Ramesh Panuru, a columnist for Bloomberg View. In 2016, we found out the conservative elites didn't speak for Republican voters. Now it turns out that President Trump's prominent early supporters don't speak for the Republican masses either. Many of these luminaries are unhappy about Trump's airstrike against the Syrian government. Republican voters, on the other hand, overwhelmingly approve of Trump's action. These high-profile Trump fans may have overread what both the president and his voters stand for. Trump didn't campaign as a consistent skeptic of military intervention abroad, or consistent anything. The president's tendencies and impulses, some of which conflict with one another, rather than a political philosophy. That's also true of most voters. Some of the people who voted for Trump did so for the same reasons as intellectual fans like him. They hope he won't intervene abroad. They want to get tough on trade. But a lot of other people voted for him for unrelated reasons, such as the imperative to beat Hillary Clinton. Most voters don't have ideological commitments. That helps explain why politicians will almost always disappoint those who do. I'm Ramesh Panuru. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com or View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. Now it's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker.
Federal agencies are spending more money hiring first-time vendors, nearly three-quarters of which are small businesses. And being a contractor for Uncle Sam can even be a pleasant experience for a small business.
The government is very attuned to the needs of small business.
Bloomberg BNA reporter Paul Murphy did an analysis of first-time government vending.
So over the years, they have, you know, developed a variety of tools, including, you know, preference programs and set-aside programs, but also a lot of support within the agencies.
As a small business, you also need to know where to look for government work. The Departments of State, Agriculture, Energy, Homeland Security, Interior, and Transportation all grew both spending and new vendor utilization in fiscal year 2016. The State Department in particular relies on small businesses for a range of information technology and other technical requirements. And that's the Bloomberg Small Business Report. I'm John Tucker.
Thank you, John. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Among the top stories in our nation's capital, the U.S. Supreme Court convening at 10 this morning with Justice Neil Gorsuch on the bench for the first time. The District of Columbia observes Emancipation Day, marking the freeing of more than 3,000 slaves in 1862, nearly 8 months before President Abraham Lincoln issued his Emancipation Proclamation. And the White House Easter egg roll rolls out on the South Lawn this morning. The event on the Monday following Easter dates back to 1876. We don't know whether Melania Trump will promote a particular theme this year which has become something of a tradition for First Ladies. Also making news this morning is the weekend failure of North Korea's latest missile test, which eased the risk of imminent retaliation from President Donald Trump, who has positioned warships in the region. While the missile test may have failed, Vice President Mike Pence had a stern warning as he spoke on a visit to Seoul, South Korea.
North Korea would do well not to test his resolve or the strength of the armed forces of the United States in this region.
For more on this, we're joined by Bloomberg's Tulu Olorunipa live at the White House. Good morning, Tulu. So it seems that China heavily figures into the administration's policy on this.
That's true. President Trump and Vice President Pence have both put the ball squarely in China's court, saying that China needs to solve the problem of North Korea and its nuclear ambitions, or else the U.S. will step up its actions on its own to potentially take unilateral action to stop the North Koreans from pursuing a nuclear missile capable of hitting the United States or one of our allies. So it does seem that President Trump and Vice President Pence are calling on China to step up their actions, to use the leverage they have in the region to halt North Korea from moving forward in their ambitions.
And the president directly tied his decision on whether China is a currency manipulator on what China does with North Korea?
That's true. We had heard for months on the campaign trail that President Trump was going to label China a currency manipulator. Now he says that it's part of a broader negotiation trying to get China to work with the U.S. in halting North Korea's nuclear ambitions. And we saw the president tweet out just yesterday saying, why would I label China a currency manipulator when I'm trying to get their help on North Korea? So we're seeing the president link those two different issues together and as he tries to reshape the U.S.-China relationship.
And the vice president had some what I would consider unusually harsh rhetoric for the North during his visit to Seoul.
That's right. He said that that President Trump should not be tested, that his resolve should not be tested, even pointing to some of the actions that President Trump has taken in other parts of the world, military actions in Syria, dropping the large bomb in Afghanistan. Vice President Pence took a very harsh and strongly worded message as he went to visit the demilitarized zone right there on the border of North Korea. He wanted to send the message that the U.S. is no longer going to practice what he called strategic patience, and that the patience of the U.S. has run out. So it was a very strongly worded message. We'll have to wait and see what happens next in terms of the actions.
Very quickly, I want to ask you about your story just ahead of the holiday weekend about President Trump is going to be speaking to the National Rifle Association. He's boldly going where no president has gone since 1983.
That's right. The president is going to be going to the conference of the National Rifle Association at the end of the month down in Atlanta. He'll be the first president since Ronald Reagan to address that group as president. Both President George W. Bush and his father did not address the group while they were president. But President Trump is hoping to rally his base. He spoke to this group and got the endorsement of this group when he was on the campaign trail last year. And it's part of his ongoing thank you tour to speak to his base of supporters. And in that base is included gun rights advocates, groups like the NRA, who spent more than $30 million supporting his candidacy last year.
Bloomberg's Tulu Olorunipa joining us live from the White House. Thank you very much. And coming up, it is Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and David Gura. David's with me now to tell us what's ahead.
Hey, Bob. Kamal Sri Kumar will be here to talk about all the geopolitical headlines. I've been saying, help us make sense of those. He's the president of Sri Kumar Global Strategies. We'll also talk with Andrew Lowe, a professor at MIT's Sloan School, the author of a new book called Adaptive Markets, Financial Evolution at the Speed of Thought. Julian Emanuel will be here, U.S. equity and derivative strategist at UBS, banking analyst Mike Mayo as well. And at the top of the hour, Steve Case, the co-founder of AOL, now with Revolution. We're going to talk with him about innovation and entrepreneurship.
David Gura with Tom Keene coming up on Bloomberg Surveillance just ahead. A forward look at the markets, S&P futures down 2 points. The 10-year Treasury yield at 1.1808%. For my colleague, Karen Moscow, I'm Bob Moon. Thanks for listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.